I just got out of a meeting with my client and I said I want to record a podcast episode. Now, most of the time I will sit down and I'll run an outline, and that's not what I'm doing today. And I've recorded north of 150 episodes of this podcast. If you've been listening for some time, thank you. But today might be one of the most important episodes I've ever recorded. And the reason for that is because you are probably a good saver. That is why you probably are where you are today, or you're on a really good track to be able to retire early, or you're just going, you know what? I don't know where I am. And I want to distill a few really important things for you in a simple way so you can have a successful retirement. And I'm going to put it in one sentence for you, and then, of course, give you some real life examples, because I just got out of a call an hour ago where I talked about this. So you are a successful saver. That does not mean you're going to have success in retirement. In fact, you won't. And here's what my client said. My client said, Ari, you're going to be so proud of me. I've got $3 million plus dollars and I have a very low withdrawal rate. I think I'll be a great client. I said, no, you won't. Like, what do you mean? I heard your podcast episode and I think you said it's good to have below a 4 or 5% withdrawal rate or something like that. And I said, yep, I talk about that. And they go, well, then what's the problem here? I go, the problem here is if you want to have the lowest withdrawal rate, here's what I want you to do. I want you to work 20 more years, don't spend any money or have any fun. Your withdrawal rate will look awesome. Okay. It'll be very low. That's not the goal here. And so I'll ask a client, and I'll do this anytime someone will join or our firm or reach out to us. I'll say, what's the most amount of money that you can spend without running out? And they go, I don't know. I just don't want to run out. And I go, the point here is not to have the lowest withdrawal rate. The point is actually to have the highest withdrawal rate without running out of money. I don't want you to die with $5 or $6 or $10 million. To me, I don't imagine that's what success is in retirement. Now, if you go, Ari, yep, I want to leave $1 million to each child or to a certain heir, that's fine. But more often than not, you will be kicking yourself if you stay a good saver in retirement. Now, let me be clear. I am not saying go spend frivolously. I am saying please make sure that you have a strategy that tells you how much you can spend, kind of what is the maximum and what is the minimum. And I had a client come to me and they said, all right, I need to spend $8,000 a month to be able to do the things I want to do. I said, how much could you spend if I forced you to spend? And they said, I don't know. I've just never thought about it that way. And I said, well, dream. They said, I guess I could spend maybe $10,000 a month, but I'm just not sure. I haven't done it yet. Now, this individual worked a really stressful job and didn't really have time to explore other hobbies to be able to see what they could spend money on. But they're like, are you saying I need to go buy a fancy car and this? And I go, not at all. I want you to make sure that you are spending what you want to spend, because if you don't, here's what you're on track for. It's $12 million. Does that sound like success to you? Now, a lot of you have probably heard of or read the book Die with Zero, and it's a self-explanatory title, but I'm not trying to have my clients, you know, cash their last check, if you will. I do want to make sure that you're not going through life in retirement going, hey, I'm kind of curious, if I spend too much on this travel, does that mean my long-term care is going to be an issue? Or if I spend too much on my kid's wedding, does that mean I'm going to have to work 6 more months? I don't want you to have to even deal with those thoughts. I want you to be in the know. I want you to truly know what's the most you can spend and how to think through this. And so to summarize it, if you stay a good saver, you will not have success in retirement, okay? You need to become a successful spender, not an overspender, a successful spender. Let me be clear. Now, a lot of you are going, Ari, you know, it felt like if I was a good spender, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. I go, that's right. I don't think you would be. If you were a great spender, you probably would not have $2, 3, 4, 5 million, which for most of you that are reaching out, that is what you have. And I know that because you're going, Ari, I'm a good saver. You're going to love seeing my account balance. And I don't. And the reason I don't, and I'm half joking, of course, is because I'm thinking, could you have spent more along the way and had more memories with family? Could you have traveled more? What could you have done so you don't die with 10, 15, 20, 30 million bucks? Now, it's you know, I totally recognize there are people nowhere in this position, but I'm speaking to all of you who probably will be in a position like this at some point. So here's what I want to go through today. What are the 5 pillars I just wrote down when I got out of my meeting? What are some things that you need to think through if you want to be a great spender? Okay. Now, I'm not saying go spend like crazy, but I'm saying I want you to be intentional about the way you spend. And here's the first thing. The first thing is implement the guardrails approach. Now, if you're going, Ari, I don't even know what the guardrails approach is, I'm going to explain it to you right now. But I did a separate YouTube video on it. And what this is it's a way to spend money in retirement correctly. And I'm saying it correctly because I've read all the studies out there and I haven't read one that's better than this. And here's why. Most people just take money from their retirement accounts once they retire, regardless of what the market does. And is that a bad thing? No. But are you leaving money on the table? Yes. And here's why. When you retire, you become your own employer. So just like you're working today, a lot of you, when you do well at your job, you might get a bonus because you did well. And if you didn't do well, maybe there's a smaller bonus or maybe there's no bonus at all. It's the same way in retirement. You become your own employer. And if markets are doing well, I'm going to say, hey, please go spend more money. This is the year to do it. In other years, I'm going to say, hey, can we temporarily cut back spending? Not forever, but temporarily, which you won't love to hear. But then you go, wow, I see why Ari's saying this. It's because there's a $300,000 trade-off by being willing to do something like this. So why do I get so passionate about this stuff? I don't want you to leave anything on the table. Most people are not coming to me, so I'm saving their ship from sinking. They're coming to me to optimize what they've worked so hard for. So what are some of these areas where I want you to spend money? I want you to spend money, assuming, of course, your plan tells you you're in a position to do so, on your health, okay? And there's so many different ways of going about this, but wealth without health, that's poverty. Now, you've probably heard that term before, but whether that's a gym membership or a trainer or healthy food, a lot of you have healthy account balances and you are not going to the grocery store that you want to go to, or you're not spending more money on a trainer because it's a lot of money. And it is a lot of money. Unless you have a very healthy portfolio balance, unless you have a pension, unless you have inheritance, unless you have rental income, unless you have you name it. For some people, it is a lot of money. But what happens to most people, just like the client I spoke with, the idea of hiring a personal trainer to them was expensive. And it was expensive 20 years ago, and it's still expensive in their brain to them right now. Even though they have plenty of money to hire 5 personal trainers, it doesn't mean it's easy to do it. So some people are going, Ari, are you expecting me, in light of all of this, to flip a switch where I was a great saver and now I'm going to be a great spender? And the answer is no. It takes work just like all of this does. But I'm inviting you to really think, excuse me, sorry for the hiccup there. I'm inviting you to really think deeply about this, to go, okay, if I need to have a successful retirement, which you don't need to do, but if you want to have one, I need to get serious about how much I need to spend. And most people go, wait a second, I thought you were just an advisor that tells people to save and invest more. Yeah, to a point. And then there's a point where I don't want you to save more money. And my basic example is this person came to me, they had $2 million. If they invest well and get 10% growth, that's $200,000, okay? And they're saying, Ari, I'm so stressed. I'd love to be able to hire a personal trainer. But the reality is I need to max out my 401k. And I was saying, no, you don't. And they go, Ari, but there's free money on the table. There's an employer match. And so I'll joke and I'll say, okay, I need you to do the employer match. That's free money. I need you to do that. But outside of that, which is of course a joke, I want you to not max out your 401k. Because if you add $30,000, that's great, but it doesn't compare to adding $200,000 by investing the right way. So later on in your career, it's not as impactful to add more dollars. It's more impactful to invest the right way. It's the opposite early on in your career. And you guys are going to laugh at this quick story, but I had a client come to me and they're like, Ari, I want my kid to hear what you have to say about money. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to talk to him about? What do you want me to talk to them about? They said, don't worry about it. Just hop on the call and they'll ask you questions. I'm like, sure. So they hop on the call and they're talking to me about crypto and how they can put Bitcoin and Ethereum in their 401k. And you know what I told them? You all laugh. I said, shut up. They're like, Ari, I've never been spoken to that way. And you know, the client's loving it because their kid's never been spoken to that way. Now, okay, I said it nicer than just shut up. But I was like, okay, let's think through this. And what I showed them is the fact that I don't care what the return is. And they're like, what do you mean? Returns are very important. I think returns are very important. I go, of course returns are important. But right now, what's important for you is that you max out your 401k. So focus less on crypto, focus more on maxing out your 401k and figuring out how to do that with your income and making sure you're saving at least 15%. Okay, that's what I tell the child. Now, you are in a different spot. Okay, you're listening to this right now. Maybe you're in your 50s or 60s, maybe even 40s for some of you. And you're like, okay, what do I do? How should I think through this? Well, adding new dollars just isn't as important. And that is the reality. So number one is spend money on your health. Okay, realize that truly is an investment. So you're not paying a ton more in the future, but that's not really why you're doing it. You will not get your health back. So that is the number one most important thing I like my clients to spend money on. Number two is experiences. No one's ever said, Ari, I am so grateful that we did a Roth conversion so that I have 80,000 more tax-free dollars, okay? They say, Ari, I'm really glad we did it and I'm happy I'm paying you to do it, but I'm actually happier if I just spent more money on trips or experiences, things that really add value to my life. We're doing Roth conversions in light of what you wanna do, okay? So here's a dopey joke for you. And my clients have already heard a lot of these, but someone came to me and said, Ari, you seem really excited about these conversions. And I don't really wanna upset you because you seem so excited, but I was thinking, can I just run an idea by you? And I said, sure. And they said, what I wanna do is I'm gonna retire early, but I'm not gonna have any fun, okay? I'm not gonna do any trips or anything like that, so we can do an amazing conversion strategy. Because I heard if we're able to convert money, that will be tax-free forever. And I heard there's no limit to doing it. It's not like a Roth contribution. you know, where there's only 7,500 or 6,500. No, I heard we can do an unlimited amount. Is that correct? I said, yes, that's correct. They said, great, then that's what I'm going to do. I said, no, it's not. And they're like, what do you mean? What I mean is I don't want you to have the best conversion strategy. I want you to have the best life ever. And in light of that, let's do great conversions so you don't pay more in taxes than you need to. But it has to be a secondary consideration, not a primary one. Okay, so fun joke for you there. So I want you to spend money on experiences. I want you to travel. And not just travel in terms of, okay, I traveled, I did it. Travel in terms of, what if you could bring family with you? What if you could bring friends with you that maybe didn't save to the degree that you saved? And it depends, of course, on your level of wealth. And sometimes the biggest limit that we can do is your imagination. You've maybe never thought, hey, what if I did take my whole family on a trip? Not just for 3 days, but for a week, a true week off. And you're going, Ari, I mean, I didn't even think about that. And I'll say, I want you to think about it. And I have clients that know they're going to get a not so fun call from Ari if they didn't buy a first class ticket because they've saved and invested well. Now, if they don't want the first class ticket because they don't want it, that's a different story. But I have clients that are in a very healthy position to do so. And if they don't do it, I will tell them I'm not happy with them. Now, I'll say, of course, it's okay. But, you know, that's something I want them to do and really practice doing more than anything. The other one I want to go to right now is giving. Okay. I want to make sure, I'm not saying you have to give to all these institutions, but I'm saying you are going to give millions of dollars whether you want to or not. And when you pass, that is what giving means, okay? That's either going to go to your heirs, and your heirs may say, oh my God, we have $3 million, we're going to quit our jobs. Or they might say, you know what? Nope, we've been raised well, we're not going to quit our jobs, we like what we do, and we're going to set up a charitable foundation, okay? It can go one of two ways, and I've seen both, where people now squander their lives because they have tons of money, or people go, hey, I'm overwhelmed by all of this, I'm just going to give it away. So I'll tell people, what's your estate planning? Excuse me, I'll ask them, I'll say, what's your estate planning strategy? They go, well, I don't really have one, but I think I have a trust or a will. I go, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Your estate planning strategy is, what are you trying to do so you don't die with $10 million? They're like, well, I don't know. I'm just trying not to run out of money once again, Ari. And so I'll rephrase it for them. And I'll say, your estate planning strategy is not dying with $10 million. And in order to do that, can we gift along the way? Can we help kids with down payments today? What can we do today to be able to help them out more so that they don't just go, oh my God, you know, I've got a ton of money, but what good is it now when I'm 80 or 90, if that makes sense? So hopefully you're thinking through charity as a really big part of your plan here. And I would love to see if you could do some good while you're here versus just waiting. And that's without even talking about the tax deductions that come along with doing so. The next one I want to talk about is spending money to improve your overall environment. Okay, this is the big one. Have you ever thought through, you know, I'm going to the grocery store. Could I pay for the groceries behind me, of the person behind me? Because it looks like they're struggling. I'd love to be able to do that. That's, you know, of course, a giving idea. But on top of that, it's improving your environment, improving your community. Now, I would argue it is impossible to do that if you don't know that you have the disposable income to do so. So I'll tell my clients, I want to make sure you know what's the most that you get to spend every month. And so I'll tell a client, hey, your maximum this month is $12,000. And they'll say, great. I only need $10,000 to live. So I say, I don't care what you do with the other $2,000. Go travel or give it away or do whatever you want. Now, of course, I'll say it in a nicer way. But I want them to know that you have options. And those options can be deployed as however you see fit, should I say. Now, what this does to your mental and emotional state can be huge. How cool would it be if you got to gift and pay for the person's groceries behind you every single time you went? Some people, it's like, all right, I'd just love to do that. Other people, it's, no, I'd really love to just be done earlier. To me, it's less about giving. It's more about, when can I be done working? I am stressed. I want to be done. Okay? Well, you might retire. I have a client, a CFO of mine, who just retired at 48 years old. Okay? Now, many people would go, that doesn't make sense. 48, they need income the next 50 years. They saved and invested really well. They're in an awesome spot, so they get to do that. So this idea that you retire based on your age and risk tolerance is just complete doo-doo, okay? And you know this, a lot of you, I have a jar that was sent to me, one of my favorite gifts ever, and it's called the anti-cookie cutter jar because I am anti-cookie cutter. I will not ask you your age and risk tolerance. I want to know those things, but not, that's not what's creating my asset allocation for them. So I want to make sure that if you're investing well, you know how much more income that could create for you. And you might go, wow, if I invest this way, that's $3,000 more a month. Okay, good to know. You also might go, you know what? That's not worth it to me. I'd rather invest, you know, less aggressively, meaning there's less dollars left over, but I'm going to sleep better. And so that's what's more important to me. So these are the trade-offs I want you to think through. The other thing in terms of environment I'm often asked is, all right, should I move? Like, what if I move to Florida, better taxes, or Texas? You can always do that, but I'll say, do you want to do that? And I'll say, no, it's just the tax consequences would be so much better there. I say, so let's do an analysis. Let me show you the difference. And they'll go, wow, that's a $2 million difference. And they go, yeah, like, all right, I think I should make the move. And I go, wait a second, do you need to make the move? And they'll go, no, I just see I could save like 2 million bucks over time. That's pretty big. They go, it is big, but if you don't want to move there and you see you're still going to be okay, do you want to move there? And they go, oh, no, I don't want to move there. I just kind of thought it would be such a big difference. I kind of had to. Now, some people go, hey, I want to go to Florida anyway. In that case, win-win. But if you're like, hey, I'm trying to move to another state just for tax purposes, even if you don't need the money, I don't love that idea, to be honest. I'd rather you live where you want to live and then you're paying taxes like California, where I am, or in New York or other states that are relatively high, but you're getting value for it, assuming, of course, you want to be there. So hopefully this has been helpful to think through, just some ideas. I came right out of a client meeting. I wanted to record this, so you all know I record every Monday. These are huge for me. I want to make sure that you guys are living your best life, not just saving and investing for this arbitrary future date that more often than not, people just keep working because it's easier and it's scary, this unknown of, oh my God, what am I going to do when I don't work any longer? And I think you guys know this, but we have a retirement lifestyle coach on staff, and I'll joke with clients. I'll say, it sounds like everyone kind of calls themselves a life coach nowadays, but the reality is this is all she does. Okay. I love numbers and optimizing them, but she is a lifestyle coach and we have her on staff to speak with our clients so that you don't just have $10 million, but you go, I have a plan for fulfillment. I have a plan for purpose. I have a plan to make sure I'm going to start building these habits to last over time. So hopefully this was helpful for you guys, and I will speak with you all next week. If you guys, of course, want a custom plan, this is what I love to do. So reach out to me in the description below, and you will see how we help clients do just that. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Early Retirement Show. If you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, you can always go to my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. That's earlyretirementpodcast.com. And you can go ahead and submit a question that I'll look to answer in a future episode. Thank you all for listening. Please do rate it, review it, and share it with someone who you think would benefit from this information, if there's anyone out there that you know. I certainly appreciate it, and I will see you all each week. Hey guys, it's me again. Please be smart about this. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial, tax, or legal advice. Consult with your tax preparer or financial advisor before taking any action. This podcast is for informational purposes only.